Beautiful Disaster, an ode to Fry's electronics. The CZ motorcycle is a beast. It stands at least 10 feet high from my 4-year-old vantage point. Usually my dad climbs on top, grabs the clutch and gas, and readies himself to tame the monster. He kickstarts the CZ. It spits and roars, like it wants to go without him. But he's in control, always in control. He taps the brake to disengage. He eases the gas to move forward. The beast obliges. By the time my dad is roaring out of the driveway, he and the beast are one. He test rides it up and down the street and makes so much noise, ladies come out of their houses. They yell at him to cool it. But today, the beast will not awaken. He can't get it to start. I watch my dad from the safety of my MTD 410 red wagon. He rolls the CZ400cc dirt bike out of the garage. He is going to tinker with it. He unrolls a surplus U.S. military belt. It is filled with the perfect size wrenches to fit the various bolts on the bike. He begins to work. My dad brings home blank green bar paper from his job at Hughes Aircraft. He gives it to us for drawing, with pens and crayons. The paper, he says, is used by their computer printers. I'm fascinated by the holes on each side. Used to feed through the printer, they pull off to make confetti. Sometimes the paper is not completely blank. Sometimes there are symbols printed on it in faint 8-section digital print. In those blocky symbols, I think I see the future. My dad fixes his motorcycle himself, in the middle of the driveway. When he needs parts, he jumps in the white International pickup. He drives to a set of shops near the corner of Hawthorne and 190th, or a store in the strip mall near Torrance Boulevard, or sometimes to a Kawasaki store on Artesia near Green. He talks to the owners and finds what he needs. Then he goes back to the driveway to work on his machines. He finesses the tools with a few and goddammit's invested until everything works again. Then he tests the bike up the hill, and the ladies come out of their houses and yell for him to cool it. He rides back into the driveway. He pulls off his white Scott helmet. He beams with a smile. I'm not sure he's felt a better day in his entire life. I watch my dad ride motorcycles in the desert. I do not ride myself, not yet anyway. The only motorcycles I've ever driven are my Evel Knievel wind-up cycle made by Ideal Toys and the Atari stunt cycle machine at the arcade at the Old Town Mall. From the 1950s to the 1990s, as the South Bay is the center of aerospace technology in Southern California, and as the 80s home computer industry booms, computer stores pop up all around the cities to serve the pastime of the engineers. Computerland, Simply Software, Radio Shack, B. Dalton Software, etc. Some exist in the same strip malls that hold motorcycle shops. My favorite is HW Computers on Artesia in Redondo next to a coin laundry. I spend many hours inside that store, gazing at the software packages, hoping to one day have a computer of my own. My dad breaks his collarbone in a desert race in about 1980. After that, the motorcycles come out fewer and fewer times. By the end of the decade, they sit still in the garage. I noticed that many of the motorcycle shops he frequented are closing too. Dirt bikes for weekend enduro racers give way to sleek street bikes named after ancient warriors. they are so complicated that they can mostly only be repaired by the official dealers. In 1983, I finally get a computer of my own. My twin brother sits next to me as we map out our next step, one byte at a time. I write my first BASIC program and save it to my own 5.25-inch floppy disk. I think I see the future. I don't think I felt a better day in my entire life. After the Berlin Wall falls, my dad retires from Hughes Aircraft, with his award for the peace dividend being a kick out the door. He takes my brother and I riding motorcycles with him one more time to get us away from our computers, to go to Lake El Mirage. I watch him riding free and easy for the first time in years. I love it too, but I fall and hurt my knee. My dad says he will get me some padded pants. But the few stores that exist don't carry all the products they used to. And for some reason, we never go again. I discover Fry's Electronics in the early 1990s, just out of college at my first job with TXS Solutions located in Manhattan Beach. It is within lunch walking distance, up the hill towards the mall, across the parking lot in front of the Man 6 theaters, down the stairway to the train tracks, and up the other side. Inside is a wonderland for computer nerds. More things than I ever thought existed or could possibly imagine. I leave empty-handed and stunned. I will be back. Fry's Electronics opened in 1986 in the Silicon Valley by the Fry brothers, David, John, and Randy. They were the sons of Bay Area supermarket entrepreneur Charles Fry, selling computers and computer parts to the mass of engineers. Its no-nonsense style with cheap prices and necessities is a hit with frugal engineers of a struggling industry looking for the next big thing. Quote, "The premier nerd hangout is Fry's Electronics, a huge electronics convenience store in Sunnyvale. Next to Apple Macs and IBM PCs are cans of Jolt, all the sugar, twice the caffeine, Twinkies, Hostess, cupcakes, and 14 different types of tortilla and potato chips." Lodi News Sentinel, February 26, 1988. As the locations of Fry's spread, most incorporate themes. NASA space, Alice in Wonderland, etc. The Fry's in Manhattan Beach is small. There is a water feature left over in the atrium from the office building that came before, so I guess that's why it is Hawaiian themed. You'd never get away with that theme now. Tiki statues mixed with men in white collars carrying 14.4K modems in one hand and SVGA graphics cards in the other. This is the 90s, an island before the storm. I visit Fry's at least three or four times a week. It's messy, DIY, scattered, crazy. I look for parts for our 386 DX40. Fry's doesn't drive the tech industry so much as mirror it. Aisles upon aisles of software, memory, CPUs, peripherals, nerds. The checkout lane passes through racks of soda, chips, candy, tech and men's magazines, deodorant. When I get to the front of the line, 25 cash registers greet me. I stand alert, waiting to hear a number called out to lure me to the altar. Quote, "Known as a techie retail paradise, Fry's Electronics Inc. has built a reputation on stocking gobs of PCs, printers, software, peripherals, and other must-haves, such as potato chips and soda and no-dos for those hopelessly glued to their computer tubes. In just one decade, that old formula has elevated Fry's into a powerful industry player." Lodi News Sentinel, January 2nd, 1997. The The internet boom of the 90s explodes in the Silicon Valley and inside Fry's, and even in the cities along the Santa Monica Bay. People need computers to get to Lycos and WebCrawler. They need to load Netscape Navigator, to visit the Church of Mentos and Chips Online. Windows 98 and DirectX make games actually work. Doom 2, Quake, Half-Life, Roller Coaster Tycoon, the checkout lane snakes around the store. More than just nerds, people of all types, clutching whatever they can find to commune with the tech revolution, with 50 registers to ring them up now, and a guy in a vest behind a pedestal who checks my receipt on the way out, a priest at the altar checking my confessions at the door. We buy my dad a computer, a Pentium, but it sits idle in his room. He shuffles by it, just like he shuffles by the now dormant dirt bikes in the garage. Even a CD-ROM copy of Motocross Madness can't force him into the digital world. He lays on his bed. He reads the Bible often now, his mortality on display. One day he removes the Pentium from his room. "It's giving me migraines," he says. "I think it's evil," he tells me, "but I don't think he ever turned it on." In the 2000s, with all 50 registers ringing, a line stretches back to the end of Fry's Electronics. It feels like the dream will never end. The computer store that I fell in love with as a kid is now the everybody store. And for the first time in my life, I feel my nerddom become mainstream. I watch in awe. I think this is the future. In 2004, I decide to build a computer for my kids from scratch. I go to Fry's to buy everything I need: motherboard, power supply, drive controller, hard drive, 3.5-inch floppy drive, network card, CD-ROM drive. I stand in a line 10 people deep to request CPU and memory. I carry what I can to the checkout and wait patiently as the expensive microchips are taken from the big cage behind the cash registers. I carry it all in two plastic Fry's bags. I sit down at the kitchen table and read the manual for the motherboard. It tells me which jumpers to pull. I get needle-nose pliers and a tiny screwdriver. I open the case and start to work. I add an old modem, mouse, keyboard, and an OEM version of Windows 98 I have laying around, and I put it all into the guts of a salvaged mini tower case. A few f**ks and f**ks and dammits invested as my kids watch on. A couple more chips to Fry's to get things I forgot. Another memory chip, a hard drive cable. I build the whole thing in one day at my kitchen in North Redondo. I visibly wince as I flip the power switch. I'm half expecting an explosion, but the BIOS boots, which means I've done something right. The hard drive format's okay. All looks good. I install Windows and it finishes close to 8 o'clock at night. My little kids watch as I load up the Disney Winnie the Pooh CD-ROM. I hear squeals of delight. I stand back and look at the scene. The SVGA CRT monitor glowing brightly in their faces as the late summer sun sets. Tigger sings a song I've heard a million times from the DVD, one I'll hear a million times more. And then I think, I did this. I don't think I felt a better day in my entire life. In 2007, the iPhone is birthed. 2010, the iPad arrives. 2011, the mobile revolution takes over. Everything comes in small packages with few user serviceable parts. People are saying the computer is dead. Fry's tries to pivot. My dad succumbs to dementia. My brother and I watch as his ashes spread from a plane over El Mirage. I fall out of my big tech job, rudderless to find what's next. I buy a laptop from an online store and become a digital nomad, working at whatever I can, anywhere I can. No money for leisure, no time to tinker. It's years before I'm back at Fry's. Important: do not open the Apple product. Opening the Apple product may cause damage. That is not covered by this warranty. Only Apple or an AASP should perform service on this Apple product. Netflix streams, Steam rises, PlayStation, Xbox, Nintendo open digital stores, Disney goes plus, Fry sells physical things to physical people, CDs, DVDs, software. Their stock dwindles. Too many boxes on the shelf have return slips attached. The lines get shorter and shorter. 50 cash registers remain, but most are tombstones. Who needs to buy parts when your warranty is voided for trying to fix it yourself? When the future actually arrives, it's not what I expected at all. Quote, Fry's Electronics, Inc., the go-to chain for tech tinkerers looking for an obscure part, is closing for good. The company, perhaps even more well-known for outlandish themes at some of its locations, from Aztec to Alice in Wonderland, said Wednesday that the COVID-19 pandemic had made it impossible to continue. Operations have ceased, and the wind-down of locations will begin immediately. Associated Press, February 26, 2021. Last time I go to Fry's is in 2020. It's more like a Big Lots or a TJ Maxx than an electronics store now. I take a photo of all they have for offer. It's the end of the entire PC computer era. A small end cap with some shovelware, and that's it. The Fry's Electronics building sits empty now, part of the Manhattan Village Mall remodel. The sign removed, but the shadow still remains. September 2023. I'm writing a story just like this, and my laptop crashes. No joke. The hard drive has bad sectors. Windows 11 gives me the blue screen of death. I get random warnings of memory errors. I have an extended warranty, but they are more hassle than value. I back up what I can and resign myself to buying a new laptop. But then I stop. I think back to that day when my kids first played a CD-ROM on a computer I made for them with parts from Fry's Electronics. How far I've fallen. I search YouTube for information about my own laptop. I find a video on how to add a new SSD drive. I find one on how to upgrade the memory and about how to configure Windows 11 for it. I buy the parts for $100 on Amazon. Not Fry's. I get my tiny screwdriver and my needle-nose pliers and I open the machine. I put on my +3 reading glasses so I can see what's what. Maybe my extended warranty is voided now? I don't really care. I replace all the parts myself. It takes about 20 minutes. I wince as I plug in the power cord, half expecting it to explode, but it does not. I reboot the machine. Everything works perfectly. I pause and think. I think about dirt bikes and motorcycle shops, about computer stores and software packages, about driveways and test rides and ladies yelling "cool it," about 50 cash registers and snaking lines, about El Mirage and a cloud of ashes, about the priest at the altar checking my confessions at the door. I don't think I felt a better day in my entire life. Children of the Silicon Revolution, an X generation conscripted to fight the console and home computer wars, a product of an analog 70s childhood, we came of digital age in the 80s, believing we could affect the world 8 bits at a time. Armed with joysticks, full stroke keyboards, Jolt Cola, and MTV haircuts, we proceeded into the vertical blink. There, we stayed up late at night, devising incantations from D&D rulebooks and beginner's all-purpose symbolic instruction code. Video games were the match, and programming was the fuse, as the infinite possibilities of the digital world exploded into the internet age to come. We are Generation Atari.
Into the vertical blink.